Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for our time of ministering the Word of God and our Bible study. Our God is amazing. He's awesome. He's worthy of all our praise. And I am thankful tonight for this new opportunity to get around the saints, around the Word of God with the saints. I thank God for you. Thank you for making the time to join us tonight. I know it's summer. There's so many things going on, so many other things we could be doing. But you made this a date with the Lord, and the Lord honors that. I'm very thankful. I'm appreciative. Glory to God. I also know that for different reasons, many people are not able to join in real time. But then at a later time, they are able to make the time to go back over the lesson, over the session, the study, and they're able to receive also. So thank you. If that's you, thank you for doing that as well. Glory to God. I want us to dive right into the teaching, into the Bible study tonight. Again, it's going to be short, and I'm really excited about what the Lord has for us. I'm just making sure I have everything that I need here set up. Would you let us bow our heads and share a word of prayer together? Father, we thank you so much for this privilege. Thank you for who you are to us. Thank you for being so good, so kind, so loving, so merciful. We're truly privileged to be called your children. And I thank you, Father, for everyone that is joining us tonight for this Bible study, or those that are joining at a later time. I thank you for your mighty presence that is here with us. Lord, thank you for all the good that is going on in the world around us. The world isn't good. The world isn't fair. But you have been good to us. You are kind to us. And regardless of what is happening, you have mandated that all things must work together for good to them that love you and to them that are called according to your purpose. And that's us. We love you. We are called according to your purpose. So we receive the good. Everything has to turn out for our good and for our benefit. And I give you praise, Father, for somebody who is listening in tonight, who needs a word of strength, a strengthening, a word of encouragement, somebody who needs to be uplifted. Precious Holy Spirit, have your way. Take the liberty. Cause there to be mighty illumination. Let there be a disbursement of your power, not just through the things that are said through these lips of clay, but God, through the impartation of the words of the Holy Spirit, do that which only you are able to do. We give you the glory and we give you the praise, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen. Glory to God. Thank you so much again for joining us tonight. As I was praying there, I felt like going back to start out tonight from Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. We have studied this before. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And what a blessing. We've studied different aspects of this, but I am just so thankful, so excited. We're enveloped in the love of God, right? We can't be touched. The Bible actually describes us. He says that we are like the apple of his eyes. Amen. That is, we're kept, we're secure in his love. Amen. If there's someone out there tonight that is doubtful, I have shared deep personal stories of some people that I have had the opportunity to minister to. Particularly earlier on this year, I know someone from out of the country whose story I was sharing, who was just so completely certain, like all these things going on in my life, how could God love me? And sometimes believers get in places where we allow thoughts like that to get into our minds. Satan, you know, Satan walks in the arena of thoughts. He sends thoughts and then he tries to captivate our minds using those thoughts. The Bible actually describes some of these thoughts as fiery darts. Think about that, fiery darts. They're like arrows that have poison on the tip of the arrows. And those arrows are shot at us with such precision. They attack our vulnerabilities. They attack areas of uncertainties in our lives, or areas of difficulties, or areas of adversity. Areas where we're trying to muster courage, and we're trying to move forward in faith. And some of those fiery darts come at us. And many times, those fiery darts actually come at us through thoughts. Thoughts from outside here. outside in the natural human realm sphere. Glory to God. But I want you to be confident in the love of God for you. There are a number of scriptures in this Romans 8:28. We're going to read this, and then, you know, we've read so many scriptures, and I'm not going to go back and read many of them, just so that I can keep this short tonight. And there's somewhere I want to get to in these few minutes that we have. But I want to encourage you to be strong in the love of God. Be strong in the love of God. Glory to God. Be strong in the love of God. I think it's Acts. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I think it's Acts 27, 25. One of those services earlier on this year, as I got ready to minister, it wasn't really my focus for that service, but the Lord put that scripture in my spirit early that morning, and that was where I started my message from, Acts 27 and 25. Paul was here and his company. They were going through a shipwreck. It was a very difficult time, and even though they had had some previous warnings, he had said a few things which the owner of the ship and the professionals there were not really paying attention to him. But all of them were caught up in this now, and the Lord visited him in the night, and the Lord gave him a very clear word. And in Acts chapter 27, verse 25, in the Amplified, this is what Paul said to them. He said to all of these people, so keep up your courage, men and women. Keep up your courage, men and women. For, he says, for I have faith, complete confidence in God, that it will be exactly as it was told me. See, God loves us so much. He said, I have faith, complete confidence in him, that it will be exactly as he told us. It will be exactly what he told me. That is, his word, his promise will be established in our lives. Even though right now we're going through this unfavorable, unpleasant circumstance, difficult situation. He said, but take courage. Take courage in the love of God. Be strong in the love of God. Romans 8:28. He said, we are assured and we know that God, being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan. Glory to God. All things are working together and fitting into a plan for good too, and for those who love God and who are called according to his design and his purpose. Do you love God? This scripture is for you. Are you called according to God's purpose? This scripture is for you. Are you walking according to God's purpose and God's plan? This scripture is for you. And it is saying everything, God being a partner in our labor, all things, everything that happened in our lives are working, they are working together and they are fitting into a plan that God devised. There's a plan that God crafted, that God designed, that God devised. Everything that happens in our lives, the plan of God is not subject to the occurrences in our lives. The plan of God does not follow the occurrences in our lives. It is the other way around. The occurrences in our lives have to follow the plan of God. The situations in our life have to follow the plan of God. If we love God, and if we are walking in the center of His purpose and His will, God loves us so much that He has guaranteed it must work together for our good. Hallelujah. He loves us just as much as He loved Jesus. Think about that for a minute. When the Lord Jesus Christ was hanging on the tree, do you think for a moment, even though the Father took His eyes off of Him, He knew His Son was going through that terrible suffering? Do you think for a moment that what was going on to the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross, do you think it could have changed any aspect of the plan that God had made for Him? Absolutely not. Everything had to follow that plan. It didn't matter what they did to the Lord. Whether they bruised Him, they pierced Him, they spat on Him, they put a crown of thorns on His head. No matter what they did, everything had to follow the plan. The plan has the final say. The plan determines the final outcome of everything that goes on in our lives. And what is the plan based on? The love that God has for us. God's plan for us is a love plan. It was devised from before the foundations of the world, long before you and I showed up. So take courage in the love that God has for you. Be confident in His perfect plan. Hallelujah. And as we do that, and as we enjoy, we continue in this our discovery, This love revolution, we call it. Why do we call it love revolution? Because it demands a change in our perspective. A revolution is a change, a radical change, a change, a shift, a paradigm shift, a change in the way we think, a change in the way we perceive things, a change in the way we look at things, a change in the way we conclude certain things in our lives, a change in what we expect will happen. That paradigm, that revolution, it calls us to believe that life is unfair. Many times the world is evil because Satan is the god of this world. But our God is good. And He loves us. And His plans for us are infallible. That means they will never change and they will never fail. Nothing could ever defeat the power of the plan of God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. I got preaching in a different direction. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, last week, as we got ready to close, I can't get over this woman's sacrifice. We were studying, we were reading together the story of this woman who came into a room where Jesus was. And one of the things I remember that we mentioned in that teaching is when we have a revelation of how much God loves us, we immediately and consistently want to love Him back and show our love for Him by the sacrifices that we make for Him. True love is expressed in sacrifice. You can't love someone and not be committed to making sacrifices for them? No, you can't. Remember again, when Jesus asked Peter, "Peter, do you love me more than this?" Then he said, Peter said, "Lord, you know I do." Then he said, "Well, make sacrifices for me. Take care of my sheep. Take care of my lamb. Feed my lamb. Make sacrifices at a higher level." And you know, there are degrees and dimensions to the love that we have and that we show for God. Those dimensions, those degrees are often determined by how much of God's love for us we have received, realized, and embraced in our own lives. How much love we have received determines how much love we show back. That's the story of this woman in Luke chapter 7. I want to just read that because I want to go somewhere in our brief study tonight. The greatest blessings of the Lord accompany the highest degrees of love-based sacrifices that we make for Him. Remember that scripture we read last week? It wasn't one that I had prepared, but it came up, hallelujah, in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. Glory to God. He said, "For God is not unrighteous to forget or overlook your labor and the love which you have shown for His namesake in ministering to the needs of the saints, as you still do even now." He's not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. God is not unrighteous to ever forget your sacrifice. He will never forget your sacrifices, ever. Because He knows when your sacrifices to Him are based on love, the depth of your love for Him, then that opens you up to the best that He has. It opens you up to everything. Remember what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, he says he humbled himself. This is Philippians chapter 2. He made sacrifices, humbled himself to death. Let's go and read that. Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read that one from the King James. He humbled himself to death, even the death on the cross. And then the Bible says, "And God therefore has highly exalted him." Let me read this, Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." He made the highest sacrifice possible. He offered the highest sacrifice possible. He said, "Therefore God also has highly exalted him." Notice, the best blessings of God accompany the highest sacrifices that we make that are based on love, our love for him. "Therefore God also," this is verse 9, "God also has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord made the highest sacrifice possible, and therefore the Lord conferred upon him the greatest blessing possible. He made the highest sacrifice possible. Therefore, the Lord conferred upon him the greatest blessing possible. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go back to this woman in Luke chapter 7. Glory to God. She entered into this room where Jesus was. And immediately, the only thing on that woman's mind was Jesus. The only thing she could focus on was Jesus. And she had brought everything. She came prepared to this meeting. She had heard that Jesus was going to be visiting this man, this Pharisee's house, Simon. And she wasn't invited, but because you follow the story, it was obvious nobody would have invited her to such a meeting. Like, they judged her even before they knew what was going on in her life. But that woman came prepared. She came prepared with her offering of sacrifice. Glory to God. It wasn't money. It was her whole self. She brought, and it wasn't something Jesus could spend. It wasn't something Jesus could take to the bank and save. No. She brought everything. She brought all she had. She came there. She was weeping. Luke chapter 7 from verse 36. Pharisee invited Jesus. And in verse 37, this woman in the city who was a sinner came. She knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house. She bought an alabaster box of ointment. Very precious perfume. Hallelujah. I love it. The Lord. This woman must have known that the Lord appreciated good colognes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm just gonna leave it at that. That the Lord had a good sense of good colognes. Brought this alabaster box of ointment, this precious ointment. And the fragrance filled the room. You know, your sacrifice, we've read this before. You know, your sacrifice of love to the Lord is a fragrance that fills all of heaven. When we make sacrifices for the Lord that are based on love and our appreciation of his love for us, heaven is filled with the fragrance of our sacrifice. Hallelujah. You remember Noah, when he offered those sacrifices, the Bible says the aroma of it rose up to heaven, and God smelled this beautiful fragrance, this beautiful aroma. And the Lord pronounced a blessing. The greatest blessing that God ever gives us, follow our highest sacrifices that are based on love. She brought this box of ointment, and she stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with her tears, and she wiped them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. You know, I just can't get over this woman's sacrifice. I talked about it last week. Why is she weeping? She's not weeping because something bad happened. She's weeping because she's overwhelmed. She's overwhelmed by the love of Jesus for her. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And on and on, we read this story last week. I want us to go here, you know, and read about Abraham when the Lord called him to make the highest sacrifice that he had ever been called to make. Glory to God. In Genesis chapter 22, look at this. What are we honing on tonight? God's greatest blessings accompany the highest dimensions of sacrifices that we make for him that are based on love. We've seen it in Jesus' life. We see it in this woman's life. This woman who everybody called a sinner, but Jesus conferred upon her the highest level of righteousness. And Jesus elevated her amongst all the people that were sitting in that place. Jesus said, no, she has been forgiven much, therefore she loved much. Jesus elevated her. In Genesis chapter 22 from verse 1, it came to pass after these things that God did test. The word is test. The original word is test. Not tempt. God doesn't tempt us. The Bible tells us that in the New Testament. It's Satan who tempts, but God does test sometimes. God did test him, test Abraham, and said unto Abraham, and he said, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. Look at the God say, whom you love, your only son whom you love. This test is a test of sacrifice, and it is a test of love. I know you love your son. I know you love your son more than anything else in this world. He said, take that son whom you love, get to the land of Moriah, offer him there for a burnt offering, a sacrifice on one of the mountains that I would tell you. Go sacrifice this your son whom you love above everything and everyone else. Go sacrifice that your son to me. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. No argument. He rose up early in the morning. And he saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he clave wood. He took wood for the burnt offering, and he rose up and went unto the place that God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto the young men that went with him, you guys stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad, the young lad, that's his son Isaac, we will go and worship, and we will come again to you. I love the way he described this. We will go and worship. See, he described his obedience as worship. His worship, this obedience, this worship was a sacrifice. Everything about our lives, when they are clothed in sacrifice, get God's approval. God told him, go and sacrifice. But he said, we are going to worship. This sacrifice for him was worship. When your worship becomes a sacrifice, amazing things happen. When your service to God becomes a sacrifice, amazing things happen. When your giving to the Lord becomes a sacrifice, amazing things happen. Now, all these sacrifices must be based on love. When your worship is a sacrifice that is based on love, amazing things happen. When you walk in obedience and you make sacrifices as a result of that obedience that are based on love, amazing things happen. When we give, when we serve, when we act, when we do things for the Lord that are based on love, my friends, amazing things happen. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, the sacrifice, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac said unto Abraham his father, and said, my father, and he said, here I am. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb? Where is the sacrificial lamb? And look at this. Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Even in that moment of sacrifice, Abraham was secure in the love of God. It's like what Paul said. Take courage, men. Acts 27:25. Take courage, men, because I have faith, complete confidence. This is Abraham's faith, his complete confidence that he's speaking here. When Isaac said, where is the sacrifice? Where is the animal? Abraham said, I have complete confidence. God will provide for himself a sacrificial lamb. And he did. And he did. Glory to God. And they went, they came to a place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar and the wood. And Abraham stretched his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do anything to him, unto him. For now I know that you fear God. That is, I know that your love for God and the dimension of your sacrifice for God is so much higher than anyone living in your time. I know you fear God. I can see that. I can see the dimensions of your love that have provoked this sacrifice, this ultimate sacrifice that you are going to make. Remember, this was like a prototype ahead of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on Calvary. Abraham went to create that ground, to make room for that sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made. Abraham created the room for that to happen. The angel said, don't touch him. Now I know you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld even your own son, your only son. It's the most precious thing in your life. You have not withheld him from the Lord. Your highest dream, you didn't keep it from the Lord. Your greatest aspirations, you didn't keep it from the Lord. Your highest goals, you didn't hold back. You didn't hold back on your commitment to God because of some of these other precious things in your life. He said, hold it right there. And he lifted up his eyes in verse 12, In verse 13, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him there was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and looked at the ram, and took the ram and offered him up as a burnt sacrifice. That's that substitution. Exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us at Calvary. He took our place. He was our substitution. He was the propitiation for our sins. He was that substitutionary sacrifice. Our lives should have been taken, but his own life was given up. He gave up everything to take our place. Hallelujah. Abraham opened the door and he said, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. He said, as it is said to this day, in the mountain of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord, listen to this now. This is verse 15. The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. For because you have done this thing and you have not withheld your son, your only son, he said, that in blessing I will bless. Now he was already blessed. He said, but in blessing I will bless you. And in multiplying, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And your seed will possess the gate of his enemies. And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. The highest blessings, God's highest blessings, are conferred upon us when we offer the greatest dimensions of our sacrifices to him that are based on love. Glory to God. Glory to God. I think we should close out in the New Testament. I love it, you know, after the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10. Let's close out there. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. In Mark chapter 10, when that rich young ruler came and talked to the Lord, came and asked him, remember that? I'm not going to read the whole thing from the very beginning. But he came and asked the Lord. And in verse 17, Mark chapter 10 and verse 17, they came, when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And you know this story. He told him, and he says, why do you call me good? You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, dishonor your father and your mother. And he answered and said unto the master, all this have I obeyed, observed from my youth. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, look at that, loved him. He loved him and he wanted to elevate him to the highest place he had ever been. But that young man missed it. He loved him and he said unto him, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatsoever you have, give it to the poor. He was calling him to a higher level of sacrifice, a higher dimension of sacrifice. He had made some sacrifices. He had conformed in obedience to a lot of the things that the Lord mandated of him. But Jesus was calling him to a higher place, but he missed it. And he said, go give to the poor. And in verse 22, that he was sad at that saying, he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Actually, his possessions had him. He didn't just have great possessions. His possessions had him locked down. And Jesus looked round about and said unto the disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches, that is, they whose riches are almost like that's the most precious things in their lives, How hard it is for them to enter into the kingdom of God. And the disciples were astonished by his words. Jesus said unto them, children, how hard is it? How hard is it for them that trust in their riches? That's the key. They trust in their riches to enter into the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus looked upon them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Then in verse 28, Peter began to say unto him, lo, Lord, we have left all and we have followed you. We have made sacrifices at the highest level. We have made sacrifices at the highest level. We have given up all. We have given up the best. We have given up the most precious things in our life. And Jesus said unto him in verse 29, Verily, verily, I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. Verse 30, but he will receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers, children, land with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. No one who has made, there's no one who has made sacrifices for the Lord at a high level that would not receive them back a hundredfold. Now, I don't know about you. A hundredfold means 100%. It means 100% of the best of God that a man, a human, a man or woman on this earth can enjoy. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus is saying. Anyone who has made sacrifices at a high level, you qualify for that hundredfold blessing. See, the best blessings of the Lord are reserved for us when we rise, when we elevate the dimensions of the sacrifices that we make for Him that are based on love. Our receiving His love and our expressing our love for Him. Father, we thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for your mighty presence, your word. Thank you for giving us understanding, illumination. We give you praise. We thank you, Father. I speak a blessing over every man and every woman, all of my brothers and sisters, everyone under the sound of my voice. Bless them and their families tonight. Prosper them in all that they do. Father, I give you the glory. I give you the praise. You alone deserve it. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Saints, thank you so much for joining us tonight. What a wonderful time we have had. That was a glorious session indeed. And I thank God for it. And I pray His blessings over you. I pray that as you go to bed tonight and as you continue on in your week and the rest of this season, that the Lord's elevated blessings continue to be manifest in your life. In Jesus' mighty name. We love you. I look forward to seeing you exactly same time next week. God bless you. Good night.